This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So we now move on to the next pillar in the pillars of Iman. And we know the next pillar is going to be Iman in Allah's prophets and messengers. And we will also merge in today's talk books. So we will do two of the six pillars. As we know in the hadith of Jibreel, it mentions to believe in Allah and the angels and the prophets and the books. So today we'll combine the prophets and the books and discuss them all together. We all know that a fundamental part of our religion is to believe that Allah sends anbiya and rusul. And what is the difference between a Nabi and a Rasul? Many opinions, but inshallah, what seems to be the case, the word Nabi comes from Naba'a, which means to inform. So Nabi conveys something that you do not know. Nabi is somebody who tells you something you do not know from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a Rasul comes from the word Arsala, which means to send. So Allah has sent somebody to someone. And perhaps the clearest distinction, and Ibn Taymiyyah mentions this, is that Nabi is sent to a people who already believe in him. Whereas Rasul is sent to somebody who doesn't believe in him, so they have to establish, or he has to establish his credentials. Sometimes they accept, sometimes they reject. So generally speaking, a Nabi is sent to a group that already believes. So Adam is a Nabi, his children believed in him. Nuh is the first Rasul because his people rejected him. So a Nabi is sent, and generally speaking, Nabi follows the message and the Sharia and the laws of the previous Rasul. I say generally because Adam was the first Nabi, but he didn't have a Rasul before him, so he comes with the law. But the future Rasul generally come with a different Sharia or different laws. And generally, the future Nabi, they follow the previous Rasul. So the classic example for us is Musa is a Rasul, he was sent to Fir'aun. Then after Musa, up until Jesus, there are dozens of prophets mentioned in the Old Testament. They have Samuel, and you have Hezekiah, and you have all of them. These are Anbiya. The children of Israel believed in them one after the other. John the Baptist is a Nabi, but Isa is a Rasul because he was sent to establish and they rejected him. So his cousin Yahya is a Nabi and Jesus is a Rasul. That's our definition of a Nabi and a Rasul. And we have an authentic hadith in the Mustadra, in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban. Abu Dhar al-Ghifari asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, how many Anbiya were sent? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 124,000. So 124,000 anbiya were sent. So he said, how many rasul? So he said, 310 and a quantity. 310 wa bid'a and a quantity. 315, 313, 319, 310 and some. So 310 and some were Rasul. And then in order to make sure you don't think this is a small number, our Prophet ﷺ said, Jammun ghafir, a large number. Means they might be small in number compared to 124,000, but they are much in their quality. And of course, from the fundamentals of our religion, we have to believe in the prophets to believe in Allah. If you do not believe in the prophets, you have rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Belief in the prophets goes hand in hand with belief in Allah. قُلُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطِ وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى وَالنَّبِيُّونَ بِرَبِّهِمْ. All the prophets. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. We don't distinguish in belief with all of them. Allah says in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. Those who reject Allah and His prophets. How do they reject Allah and His prophets? وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. They do this by differentiating between Allah and His prophets. وَيَقُولُونَ, and they say, نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ. We'll believe in some of Allah's prophets, and we will reject other Allah's prophets. Allah Azza wa Jal says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقَّا. This is the essence of kufr. Why? Because once you believe, so again, a little bit advanced here, there are two major philosophies of religions. Those who believe in prophets, Judaism, Christianity, Islam. Those who don't believe in prophets, Hinduism, Taoism, Taoism, Shintoism, Buddhism. These are the two major philosophies when it comes to religion. Now, those who believe in prophets, they should recognize a prophet when he comes to them. It makes more sense for the prophet believers to recognize a new prophet because they already believe in prophets. As for those who don't believe in prophets, at least we can say, okay, this is a new concept to them. So Allah is saying that group that believes in prophets but then rejects this prophet, that is the essence of kufr because you already believe in prophets. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقَّ. So we don't differentiate between the prophets, we believe in all of them. And of course we know that the Quran only mentions a few. In fact, 25 are mentioned in the Quran by name, and the rest are not mentioned. As Allah says, some we have told you their stories, others we have not told you their stories. مِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَصَصْنَا مِنْهُمْ مَنْ لَمْ نَقْصُصْ. You have some, you don't have others. Out of these 25, five are considered to be those of strong resolve. أُولُو الْعَظْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. The ones that have strong resolve. And these are Nuh and Ibrahim and Musa and Isa and our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the five that are the strongest resolve or the highest level of prophets. Now, we just said, Allah says we don't differentiate between the prophets. Yet I just said these are the five that are a higher level. And the response is very clear. We do not differentiate in that we believe in all of them, that all are sent by Allah. But we do believe some are more blessed than others, and all of them are more blessed than us. So compared to us, all the prophets are better. Amongst themselves, some prophets are better than others. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ. These are the prophets. We preferred some over others. The highest of them whom Allah spoke to. مِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ. And that is the highest category. And of course we know that Allah spoke to our father Adam, and he spoke to Musa, and he spoke to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we believe in all the prophets, and we do not differentiate in believing in them. But we do believe some are more blessed or more higher in the status of Allah than others. And of course, the role of the prophets is very clear, and that is to convey the message. The Arabic word is balagh. Innama alayka al-balagh. The conveying what Allah has told them to convey. And that is why we believe no prophets can ever make mistakes when it comes to conveying the message. They are infallible in one aspect of their lives. And that is when it comes to speaking on behalf of Allah. No prophet can lie. No prophet would ever lie. No prophet would say something that is false, or else that would destroy their credibility. And we also believe that the prophets give you good news and warn you. Bashir and Nadir. Bashara, Bashir, for those who are good, they have good news. For those who reject, they have Nadir. They're going to be warned. We also believe that the prophets come to purify ourselves. They tell us how to be spiritually pure. يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. One of the roles of the prophets is tazkiyah, spirituality, how to be purified in this world. And we believe as well that one of the reasons why Allah sends prophets is so that, we call in Arabic, إِقَامَةُ الْحُجَّةِ, to establish the evidence. What is this evidence? And we learn in Surah Tabarak, when the people go to Jahannam, the angels will say, قَالُوا أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ. Didn't a messenger come to you? قَالُوا بَلَىٰ قَدْ جَاءَنَا نَذِيرٌ. Yes, a messenger did come, but we rejected the messenger. So if no messenger came, people might have an excuse and they might say, oh Allah, مَا جَاءَنَا مِن بَشِيرٌ وَلَا نَذِيرٌ. No messenger came, it's not our fault. And that is why we believe that if a group of people have never heard of the prophetic message, they might be forgiven on Judgment Day. Because no prophet has come to them. So they are a special category of people. On Judgment Day, they might be forgiven. They're called Ahl al-Fatrah. If somebody has never heard of the prophets or our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he lives in isolation, or they live in isolation from other societies that have prophets, perhaps on Judgment Day, a bit more detailed, they might have an excuse. Because sending prophets establishes Allah's evidence against the people. And we believe, so I rephrase this when I speak at churches, you know, Christians, they have that famous phrase in the Bible, that for God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, to basically redeem and die for our sins. We don't believe this, obviously. Jews and Muslims don't believe this. We rephrase this. We say, for God so loved the world, He continued to send prophets to guide us. Allah Azza wa Jal continued to send prophets to guide us. That is Allah's love manifested to mankind. Because Allah did not want to leave mankind in darkness. And this leads me to a very, very deep point. I only have 2 minutes, but it is a very philosophical and a very profound point. Why does Allah send prophets? And the response is, in a nutshell, is because without prophets, mankind can never attain the true guidance, true knowledge of ethics, of morality, of good, of righteousness, of evil. This goes back to the most ancient philosopher. Socrates asked, what is good? And for the last 3,000 years, Western history and philosophy has attempted to answer that question. Who defines what is good? Who defines morality? Who defines righteousness? Allah says in the Quran, وَلَوْ اتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. If truth were to follow their desires, لَفَسَدَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. All that is in the heavens and earth would become corrupt. Allah says in the Quran, good and bad are never the same, even if the quantity of the bad overwhelms you. It doesn't matter if everybody's saying something bad, it doesn't make it good. And we say as Muslims firmly, morality is not up for democracy. Doesn't matter if the majority say something immoral is moral. It doesn't matter. In this country itself, how many examples can be given? Racism was codified. It was law for 300 years. Slavery, it was law in this country. Just because something is legal doesn't make it moral. Doesn't make it ethical. And we firmly believe this. Look at history. Look at now what is happening. All of the changes in morality, in decency. All of the changes taking place. When somebody stands and preaches decency, dignity, haya, that person is labeled a bigot, backward, you're this, you're that. Look at how quickly that which was evil is now considered mainstream. That which was indecent is now considered to be decent. People's reactions to morality changes, and you are a product of your culture. When Allah revealed in the Quran that racism is bad, the Quraysh said, have you lost your minds? You expect Bilal and me to be the same? The Quraysh couldn't understand it. And 50 years ago, this country said the same thing. Allah says, we don't care what you say. Doesn't matter what your skin color, everybody is the same in the eyes of Allah. So the point is, you need divine guidance. Look now at morality, at sexuality, at gender. People are talking. How quickly changes are taking place. Who will decide? That's why Allah said, you mankind are not able to govern yourselves with morality. You must have morality from up above. I must reveal it to you. And Allah has said in the Quran, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. You think we created you as a joke without anything? Allah says in the Quran, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُتْرَكَ سُدَى. Did mankind think he would be left without guidance? Do you think we took care of you? We gave you your food, your water, your drink, your oxygen. Everything is perfect. Your world is perfect for you. And you think we wouldn't take care of your spirituality, of your morality, of your guidance? That is why we say, without Allah's guidance, we are like animals. We need hidayah from Allah. And that's where the prophets and the books come into play. And of course the books, by the way, every single prophet was given inspiration. Some of those inspirations were written down and they became larger books. As we know, every prophet therefore was given what we would call a book. But there are some prophets that have been given larger books. And of course the largest are the Torah of Musa alayhi salam, the Zabur of Dawood, and the Injil of Isa. And of course our Prophet is given the Quran, but these aren't the only four books. Of course, there's Suhuf Ibrahim, five books that are mentioned by name, but every prophet essentially had what we would call a book. Every prophet was given a wahi. That wahi is the book. Sometimes that book is dictated and written down, and it becomes a compiled book, and that is why we have the Old Testament, the New Testament, that we believe is corrupted, but the original was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The bottom line, brothers and sisters, belief in the prophets is and the books is a fundamental fundamental pillar of our iman. Without it, we are not believers. And these prophets of Allah, all of them, they demonstrate Allah's mercy. They teach us the ethics and the laws, morality and guidance. They are role models for us. Their stories inspire us. We read the stories of Musa, Isa, Jesus, Yunus. We read the stories and their morality, their akhlaq, the fact that they win over their enemies, that Allah helps them, are signs for all of mankind. And these prophets become role models, and especially our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes the ultimate role model. If we do not take him as a role model, we have no role model. The only way to worship Allah is by believing in Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then taking him as the final role model. And inshallah, we will continue our talks tomorrow. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.